Turn to Revelation chapter 22, and it's beautiful. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
And there's another text that I love. I love this. Verse 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is what? With me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now look at verse 17. It is fantastic. Okay, and the Spirit and the Bride, that's the New Jerusalem, say, come, and let him who hears come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Oh my, I love that. I love that. I love it. God says, won't you come? I have a city prepared for you. Will you come? Will you join me? And I'm so excited about what God wants to do in this church. I know he's coming soon. How many of you heard about the earthquake this morning? 8.9 on the Richter scale off of Chile near Santiago. And they are preparing in Hawaii for a tsunami. My brothers and sisters, I have the feeling this is the beginning of sorrows for this whole world. And the last events will be what? Very rapid ones. And I'm homesick for heaven. I'd like to go home. I'd like to thank you for coming, and I pray that God will minister to us as we talk to the Lord, and the presence of God may fill this place. Would you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and your kindness and all the wonderful things you do in our lives. We are not worthy to be called your children, and yet you call us your children. And we long for the day, Father, when Jesus will come and take us home to be with him forever. Oh, Father God, there is within our hearts a desire to escape this world of sorrow and pain and heartache and death, and reunite with our loved ones and live forever with you. Oh, the land of an unclouded day. Oh, Father God, we long for that. May this gospel message that we know about go quickly. Help us to lead others to Christ in the closing hours of this world. People are looking toward heaven, wanting something better. And we have what they desire. Open our hearts, our mouths, and our pocketbook to do all we can to prepare men and women to meet you, Jesus. We pray this in your holy name. And the whole church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you for worshiping here with us this morning. Please take your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 3. I really had put together three messages, and I could not make up my mind what I wanted to share with you until the Holy Spirit spoke to me this morning. Christy and I spent until about 9 putting together a beautiful message that I'll preach in the future. I won't preach it today. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden.
And then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he, God, said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, oh, this is interesting. "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." I'll come back to that one. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is it that you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than the cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life." And then verse 15 of Genesis 3 is the promise of eternal life and the struggle. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." A constant battle between Christ and the devil over you and me. Now, if you think carefully about this whole story, it is very easy to put things together when you realize it's all women's fault. That's why we're in this mess. Now, let me ask you a question. Who clothed Adam and Eve ultimately? God did. From nakedness to nakedness, from nakedness of purity to nakedness without God. The naked truth is we need Jesus Christ. Now, let me give you some of the process we go through. Our prisons are filled with people who have excuses for what they have done. Let me give you just a few. Then God called to Adam and he said to him, "Where are you?" Regression. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid. I was naked and I did what? I hid myself." Repression. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you do not eat?" And verse 12, and then the man said, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree." Projection. It's not my fault, it's hers. And rationalization. These are all psychological terms we use. The prison is full of them. Well, people will say, "Are you guilty?" "Absolutely not, Your Honor. I did not do that." Our greatest need is to be justified. And if we are not justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, we will attempt to justify ourselves, to cover our own nakedness. And then you have transference. So the Lord says, "I'm going to transfer it to the serpent." He's going to be the result. But this is interesting. Adam says, "Well, listen, you gave me the woman." Who ultimately was he blaming for this? "You did it, God." And do you notice in this story, God did not say he did not do it. Did you catch that? God did not say, "I'm innocent of this. Yes, I did give you the woman. Furthermore, I knew what you would do." And Adam, he did. He took it like a man and blamed his wife. And she became the woman of all women and transferred it to something else. "Well, I was okay until the serpent tempted me." We are living at a time when our greatest need is to really see who we are. Take your Bible and turn to Mark 14. We're talking about communion. Mark chapter 14. And if you would with me, begin here in verse 17. It is the Last Supper. We do not have a lot of time this morning, so I would like to say things succinctly so that you understand where I'm coming from. Verse 17 of Mark chapter 14. In the evening he came to the 12. Now as they sat and ate, Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you who eats with me will what?" That must have been interesting. They did not sit at tables the way we do. They reclined on a couch. And as we learn later, John the Revelator reclined on the breast of Jesus. And they had their feet sticking out. And they would eat in the middle and dip bread in the olive oil. And we do that today. In the Mediterranean, they do it today. Listen to this now. And he began to be sorrowful. They began to be sorrowful and to say to him one by one, "Is it I?" And another said, "Is it I?" I have a question for you. Did Judas ask that? Did Judas ask, "Is it I?" Yeah, he did. They all began to be sorrowful. He answered and said, "It's the one of the 12 who dips with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed." It would have been good for that man if he had what? Never been born. Turn to John chapter 17 just for a moment. This is more of a little study than it is a sermon because of our shortness of time. Actually, when I know I have a little time, I preach longer, that's all. John chapter 17 and verse 12. I want you to catch this. "While I was with them in the world, I kept them, Father, in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. None of them is lost except" who? Who? The Son of what? Okay, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just for a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, way over there in the New Testament, and verse 3. When talking about the Antichrist system, listen to what Paul says here in verse 3. Listen. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away or the apostasia comes first, and that the man of sin is revealed." Who? Who? The Son of what? Did you realize that the Antichrist carries the same name as Judas? Once walking with God, heard the truth and rejected it and walked away. Well, we know it's talking about a system, the Antichrist system at the end of time. But let me tell you something. Do not think that you and I are exempt from walking away from God. The good news today for me is that I have eternal life. God has covered me with the righteousness of his Son. I stand forgiven. You know what one of the real problems in the Adventist church today? I don't know if I dare say this. Now I'm going to talk to you, parson to person. The real problem is dishonesty. It's a lack of acknowledging who we really are. It's a lack of saying, "Oh God, I need a Savior. I am naked and I need a covering for my life. Jesus, would you please be the one who covers me? I have tried my whole life to do what is right and I realize now that it isn't what I do that counts, it's who I am. And today I belong to Jesus." How many of you would say that? "And I desire to do his will. I was shapen in iniquity, born with a sinful nature that fights against this higher calling of God, and I battle with it constantly. The good I would, I do not, and that which I would not do, I find myself doing." Romans 7, 14 to 25. And the biggest problem is, it doesn't get easier. I want you to see one other text. Turn to Galatians. Look at this. Galatians chapter 2. I want you to catch this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. We're going to close with this, then we're going to separate from foot washing. I want you to catch this. I want you to get this. Say, I want to get it. Would you please say that? I want to get it. Okay, thank you. Thank you for saying that. That was nice of you. You're very kind. You're a very kind audience. Listen to this now. Verse 11. Now, when Peter had come to Antioch, listen to this, I withstood him to his face. Paul, what in the world are you talking about? He said, I'm talking about hypocrisy. Now, listen to this. For before certain men came from James, which was one of the fathers of the church, he would eat with who? Well, he ate with the Gentiles. I'm not going to suggest to you he ate unclean foods. I'm not going to suggest to you that he had a ham sandwich or that he ate clams. But I am going to tell you this right now. He acted like a Gentile. Are you with me? Now listen to this. But when they came, the Jews, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. The Jews came in and here he is. Peter's sitting down with the Gentiles, having a great meal and a great time. And in walks the Jews. And Barnabas is with Paul. Now listen to this. The rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Oh, my brothers and sisters. Now I'm going to say something you may not want to hear. You can try kicking me out if you want. But here's the way I feel. If you want to eat meat, eat meat. Don't cover it up. If you want to drink something, you want to drink. Do it all to the glory of God. Whatever you're going to do, do it because Jesus is convicting you. Do not try to be what somebody else wants you to be. That is hypocrisy. That is hypocrisy. I live a certain way because I'm that for me. That's the way God wants me to live. But I'm not going to be a judge for somebody else, and I'm sure not going to seek to be their conscience. God never gave you and me the ability, nor the right, to be the gauge of temperature on somebody else's life. Raise your hand if you agree with that. Okay, now listen. When I saw that they were not straightforward about what? What does it say in your Bible? Not straightforward about what? The truth of what? Okay, the truth of the gospel is you're saved by grace through faith alone. Say alone. Alone. There's nothing you can do to add to it. There is nothing you can do to take away from it. The truth of the gospel is God accepts sinners and by grace changes them. We do not. Oh, I wish I had done some things different. I wish I had. How many of you would say amen? People that were hurt, lives that could have been maybe rescued. But, you know, I thought I had this truth from God that I was going to, early on in ministry, straighten the church up. I was going to have them look good. You know, you can look great and be a sinner. You know that? Well, they don't eat this, they don't eat that. I asked a guy one day, I said, how do you know who Seventh-day Adventists are? He said, aren't they the Pope that don't eat pork? Oh, my. Isn't it more than that? How many of you would raise your hand and say yes? It better be more than that. It's the grace of Jesus Christ. I remember telling a couple they were going to get wed. I said, well, you know our policy is. And I went on to tell them, you can't wear this, you can't do that. And I remember out of the blue, this lady asking me, Larry, what can you do? Is there anything you can do? Well, yes, you can come to church and keep quiet. Why am I saying this to you this morning? You're going to be having foot washing service. Maybe it is time to be totally honest with each other, to ask for prayers. And if we've hurt someone, to say, I have hurt you, and I am sorry. Has anyone misunderstood me this morning? I hope not. I'm not advocating you eat what you want. Please, do not run away saying, Pastor Gale doesn't believe in the spirit of prophecy. Don't do that. All I'm telling you is this. If more Seventh-day Adventists read this, they would be better Seventh-day Adventists. They would be Christ-oriented. Ellen White said, don't touch my writings 1 minute until you know what the Word of God says. Well, what's our problem? What has happened to the church? Judgmentalism, lack of love, lack of confession. I've hurt you and I'm not going to say I'm sorry. And you know what happens? I sit down beside you. I know I've said something to hurt you and I'm not going to... No, I haven't, by the way, hurtingly.
No, he hasn't.
But I hurt someone and I won't say anything and I'll sit over there. That's my way of saying to you, well, we're okay, aren't we? I've never said a thing to you. You understand it? The hardest thing in the world to say is, I am sorry. Is it I? I was born naked, tried to clothe myself with my own rags, and we're still trying to do it. Are we not? And Jesus covers our nakedness. Isn't that good news? I'm going to look like me when Jesus comes. And babe, whether you like it or not, my wife likes it. I'm going to look like me throughout eternity. I'll have that smile, you know, my father's cleft chin. It's there forever. Unless I have it surgically removed. I will look like Dad forever. And when I see Dad, oh my, those green eyes. And that hair like mine, white and falling down. Dad will look at me and he will say, Rocky, we made it. We made it. What do you want to do? I don't know. We can do anything. We can do everything. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? We can go everywhere. At the speed of light. Well, where do you want to go? I don't know. There's so many options, I don't know. You ever take kids for an ice cream cone? It used to be vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. Now it's vanilla. It's Rocky Road. It's every other kind of road. And by the time you're done, they've got 20 options. And you're waiting for them to choose. That's the way it's going to be in heaven. Would you like walk streets of gold? Yes, I'd like to do that. Would you like to be in the temple with Jesus? Yes, I'd like to do that. What else would you like to do? I don't know. There's so many options. I know one thing I do want to do is I want to see Jesus. And I want to be around Jesus. How is everybody going to get around him at once? I'm sure you're aware that when Jesus went to heaven, he went to heaven in bodily form. So he's forever subject to time and space. If he's sitting here, he can't be seated over there. That's Jesus. So when I see him, I'm going to punch people aside and and I'm going to run up and say, I was naked. I justified myself. And I realize now, it was I. In my life, it was I. As we separate for foot washing, I want you to be thinking about, we're going to have a little testimony time. What would you like to say to Jesus Christ? In the form of his people. What would you like to say? Let me pray for you. Our Heavenly Father, you are a wonderful, wonderful God. I believe, God, I really believe in my heart that you are far more gracious than we have ever given you credit. And we're far more sinful than we realize. And the Savior is far greater than we ever anticipated. Oh, sweet, sweet Jesus. To be around you and to hear you talk is like a brook rolling over stones, water over stones. Oh, it's musical. And you have this thing about you, like the Rose of Sharon. All heaven will be permeated with the aroma of your righteousness. Oh, my Savior, our Savior, be with us as we humble ourselves together. In your name we ask. Amen. As we leave today, and the Holy Spirit convicts you, or maybe somebody you need to call, somebody you need to visit, I pray that this communion will be real for you. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Sweet Jesus, thank you for being here. Holy Spirit, take the words that we have shared from your word, these prayers and testimonies,
and may they be acceptable in thy sight, we pray. Bless us as we go to our homes. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our Redeemer, we pray. Amen.